run away to the hard enough school, and you never have to take another day of the cruel chase.
The thugs and the fools and the...
It's true, I wear a collar and a tie. I make the wind blow all the while. They say I do it. Ain't nobody caught me. You sure got to prove it on me.
Take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side.
Chocolate covered rainbows, black boys get on down, down.
Every G&L has a New York Tales tale. The Stonewall was everyone.
Let them take you and make you invisible.
Good evening and welcome to Fresh Fruit, the longest running weekly queer radio show in the country, every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. I'm your host, Dixie Treichel. Tonight on Fresh Fruit, my guests are Stu Bennett, co-director, and Jay Walker Paz, music co-director, from the Bare Bones 32nd Halloween Extravaganza 2025. Stu is a multidisciplinary artist working on projects as a musician, instrument maker, writer, engineer, puppet designer, and puppeteer. Jay is a musician, songwriter, audio engineer, and was brought up in Colombia, Venezuela, and Brazil. The Bare Bones Halloween Extravaganza is October 30th to November 2nd, 7 to 8 p.m. in Powderhorn Park in Minneapolis. And I'm going to welcome Stu and Jay. Hello.
Hi, Dixie.
Hey, Dixie. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. We're really happy to be here. I can't believe it's already Bare Bones season. It's right around the corner.
Yes. Well, tell us a little bit about yourselves and how you're involved with Bare Bones. Go ahead and start, Jay.
Okay, so I don't have a whole lot of extensive experience with Bare Bones going back many years because this actually goes back decades. My first experience was a couple years ago, a friend of mine asked me to volunteer as a fire safety. So there's fire performers at the on this production, and I was one of the people to ensure that nobody was caught on fire or anything like that. And then the second year, somebody... that I met at Powderhorn Park during the Bare Bones performance just told me to apply. They had heard me play music around the cities, and I just jumped at it. So I was fresh. I didn't have any other experience with Bare Bones, and I became the music co-director along with Jesse Pollock Foote. So that was my first year, and this year I'm back to do it again. So I'm super excited to be part of the music co-direction along with Joaquin Schweigert this time around.
All right, and Stu...
Yeah, similar story to Jay. I'm newer to the Bare Bones community. I saw the show for the first time, I believe it's 5 years ago now. It was when it was on the Greenway, and I saw they had this giant bear that had this arm that swooped down from one of the bridges over the Greenway and grabbed a fish all the way from down on the bike trail and brought it up onto the top of the bridge so that this giant, you know, 15-foot bear head could eat it. And I saw that and I was like, whatever they're doing, I need to do that. And the power of the show really struck me. I didn't know what it was. I just kind of showed up and I was very moved. And so I showed up as a volunteer to build puppets the next year. And then I was a staff artist last year. And this year I'm one of the co-directors with, Katie Burgess, my amazing co-director who's not here with us today as well.
Yes. All right. Well, what's it like being the co-director or the director of the extravaganza? Give us a kind of an idea of what it all entails.
Yeah, it's a great question. It's chaotic. It's really chaotic. You know, at certain times we've been like, is director even the right word? I think a critical thing to understand about Bare Bones, especially for the director, is that Bare Bones is not just a theater project. So for anyone that's unfamiliar, we have a giant puppet show that we put on this time of year. It's over that Halloween weekend. And it's always about grief. That's always a huge centerpiece of what we're doing. And not only is it a theater project where we're putting on a show, but it's also a community project where we are finding ways to exist in community and work with each other in artistic projects and hold space for one another, no matter what we're doing, that aligns better with the vision of the world we want to see. And so the director has to be in service of both of those projects. The theater project, you know, you're a theater director, you know, enter stage left and all of these things, and coming up with kind of a storyboard for how are we going to use all these puppets. But then also it's kind of herding cats. There's a lot of moving pieces of the organization that you have to give yourself over to. And, you know, it's not built to be efficient. It's built to be community. And so a lot of it is that. And we have so many different artists. We have a huge group of people, and no one's really the boss. We all make decisions together. So if someone comes to the show or to the beginning of the season and says, I want to build a sea serpent, well, you better figure out a way to fit a sea serpent into the show, because that's what's getting built. So it's very challenging, but also extremely rewarding work.
Mm-hmm. And what is the theme this year, and what does that entail?
Yeah, the theme this year, the name of the show is Up in Smoke. The theme, to call it a theme, I guess it's coming from a place of our local experiences with wildfire and the smoke that we are experiencing as a community from wildfires in Canada and, you know, also on the West Coast in other years. So wildfire is centered. We have a lot of fire performers that we're very thankful to be working with us this year. So we get to represent that fire with the real thing. But the show is always about grief. And that's, I think, the most important part of the show. This is the time of year where many cultures are thinking about grief and their ancestors, you know, the thinning of the veil. We have Dia de los Muertos. We have Halloween, both the Western Halloween, but the original Irish one, which was much more about ancestors. And so Bare Bones is kind of in that strain of tradition where we are honoring our ancestors. We are digging into our grief together so that we can process it. And this year's grief is centered in some ways around, you know, the wildfires and the loss of land that we've seen because of that.
Mm-hmm. And Jay, when all of this is going on, how is the music developing? What's happening with that?
Well, I might want to take a step back and just talk about how the entire show is, how it all happens. And this was one of the most fascinating things for me, because I'm used to maybe a story already been pre-written, or somebody having an idea of how things are going to go. And in this case, well, the directors said that they wanted something to do with fire and forest fire, and particularly smoke. But beyond that, it was really up to the entire community to figure out what the story was going to be. So we had many storyboarding sessions where the entire community was invited, and everybody, there was this huge board where people could write any idea that they wanted, that they wanted to see in the show, whether it be you know, a dinosaur or a mushroom or anything that they could think of. And then as a community, we all voted on it by putting a check mark next to the ones that we liked. So that process of storyboarding was fascinating to me. It was really organic, and no one person really led what was going on. So in the same sense, the music kind of goes with that idea. I am one of the co-directors, and we help to guide and to facilitate the process of this story building and music making. But it's really up to the people who we have around us and what they bring to the table. And sometimes I'll hear somebody playing something, and I'll look at them and I'll say, hey, this is a great idea. Why don't we build on this as a community? And then somebody else might chime in and say, that's good, but have you tried doing it like this? So in that sense, it's really organic, always evolving and developing, and very much community oriented.
So you've got these community meetings. So when it starts, do people come in general to talk about the extravaganza, or do they already know, like, an area that they want to fit in, or how does that work?
Sure. We do have, so we have a team of staff artists that, and so they know their part, you know, they'll be the ones holding down our puppet builds. I think our team, don't quote me on this, but I think we have 14 staff artists this year, who are in charge of, building the puppets. And they do that with the help of a lot of volunteers who come to our builds, but ultimately they are in charge of whatever they're building. Okay. So those people will come in, and some of them might say, hey, you know, I just really, really want to build a dragon this year. I want to build this thing. And then that's a process of figuring out how do we work that into the show. Other people come and say, I'm just really excited to build in community, and I'm kind of, you know, I want to work with these materials, or I want these themes, but they'll come and develop an idea based on what the community brings to them. So there's a lot of freedom there for the artists. And then as far as the community members or volunteers that are coming to storyboarding, they're just coming to give us their ideas. And then later in the season, as it goes on, some of them will build with us. Some will come to rehearsals and perform with us. You know, other people volunteer front of house, whatever. Or some people are just people that want to see the show and had a cool idea, but they don't want anything to be a part of it. So it's kind of whatever they want to bring.
Mm-hmm. And now that you've come up with your theme this year, what can people expect to see? A little bit, a little. I know you don't want to give away everything, but
sure.
Still, only tell us what you can.
Well, I mean, okay. So when I tell my friends that I am part of a puppet show, I think that that's a little bit confusing to them, because they, you know, puppets to me before I did this were not that big, but when we are talking bare bones puppets, now these are huge puppets.
Yeah, we have one puppet at least that is over 30 feet long, and up to 20 feet wide.
Wow.
You know, as we're building, it kind of changes, so those are exact numbers. But we mean big, school bus big, you know. And then that goes all the way down to handheld puppets that come in swarms or whatever. But we have, we have puppets that... change in the middle of the show. They become something else. Mm-hmm. We have potentially some fire-breathing puppets. We have we are going to have puppets on the lake. So puppets that move between water and land. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much is the appropriate amount to give away, but
whatever. Just so if people know, if they've never been to Powderhorn Park, it's this wonderful little park in South Minneapolis in the Powderhorn neighborhood, and it's got this great lake right in the center of it. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what Stu was talking about, and that sounds like it's going to be really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So people, that means if you're going to have puppets on the lake, then you're going to have volunteers to come and work the puppets on the water. And how does that work?
Absolutely. Yeah, so as it relates to just the water, we will have a whole water safety team, and there will be people that, you know, sign up for that role and are designated. So they've kind of got they've got some training to do that, and it'll be specific people. But as it pertains to the whole show, we have volunteers doing absolutely everything. Some of those roles are more training intense, right? You're on a really critical part of a puppet, or you're on the water, or you're on the fire safety team, right? Then we have some training there. But we also have people who are volunteering front of house, is the one I keep coming back to, because we always struggle to find front of house volunteers. Mm-hmm. People just come usher people to their seats or work the merch tent. And there's, you know, a lot less that goes into that. But people really just come to us. There's not a, you know, a vetting process or like a sign up. It's kind of just come be a part of the community, come eat dinner with us and figure out where you fit in the show.
Mm-hmm. How do people find out about this? Like this, the show's at Halloween. When do you start actually calling the community meetings? How do they, you know, where do you post it? How do they know about it?
Yeah, we're already deep in the season, so we are actively having builds and rehearsals right now. You can go to our website, barebonespuppets.org, to find out. But right now we have our builds, which are open to the public, are Tuesday and Thursday evenings and Saturday afternoons. And those are in the Longfellow neighborhood, 1915 East 22nd Street, which is, of course, on our website. Mm-hmm. And then we rehearse in Powderhorn Park, where the show is going to be on Sunday afternoons. Mm. And I should say, every time we meet and we do those things, we always serve a meal. It's very important to us that we're being hospitable, you know, mm-hmm. building community. That's the community project side of things that we talk about. Some people come and they just hang out in the park, you know, they come sing with us. They don't mm-hmm. ever be in the show, but yeah. That's part of the project
yeah.
as well.
Yeah, that sounds great. And what about the music then? When do you decide you've got all the musicians and start creating the music? How does that work?
Yeah, so the music part of it is a little bit more specific, just because we have a pretty complex story to work with. So our musicians basically started in September, and we've been doing it consistently with relatively the same crew. We have about 12 musicians right now. And we're not particularly looking for anybody new this year, but for next year, you know, all experiences, levels are accepted, almost any instrument too. This year we have violin, saxophone, piano, accordion. We even have a saw, you know, nice. Kind of like a construction saw that you can play, which is bare bones was the first time that I ever saw that played.
Oh, okay.
And and yeah, and also my melodica is probably going to make an appearance there. This is an instrument that I've had since I was 9 years old. And here, I can play a little bit of a tune that we're going to play, just a snippet.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So that's all one of right. our songs based around grief. But there's also going to be some fun sections, too, and we're going to rock out a little bit as well. So.
That sounds fun. So, you know, as far as, like, you're building puppets and stuff, do people ever come and make instruments while they're there? Is there an instrument-making process at all?
Interesting. I would love it if there was. In the years that I've been a part of it, I don't think we have. Are you like PVC pipe instruments or something like that?
I've made instruments out of, like, all, you know, found wood, tin cans, glass strips, all kinds of stuff.
We have actually a couple of our musicians have some metal. I don't even know what to call them, but yeah, they play that metal thing.
All right, cool. Yeah. I love that.
And at one of our rehearsals, somebody's trying to build some kind of a flute. So every rehearsal, nice. I see this person making their flute, and it's kind of an inspiring thing.
I think we
should have more instrument making sessions.
Yes, that's very cool.
More musical puppets.
That'd be great. I'll tell you what. Let's take a break. You're listening to Fresh Fruit on KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, around the world at KFAI.org. I'm Dixie Treichel with my guests, Stu. I'm looking here, sorry for the last name. Stu Bennett and Jay Walker Paz, right? Mm-hmm. All right, cool. I want to play a new single release by queer composer Carlisle Evans Peck. And it fits right in with what's going on right now. It's called Dance Macabre, and it's going to be included on Carlisle's upcoming album, which the release party will be December 4th at the Cedar Cultural Center. And you can go to CarlisleEvansPeck.com to find out more about what Carlisle's going to be up to. But this has been released already in September, and it is called Dance Macabre.
Did I learn? Hold yourself tenderly, bridges still burn. I want to be more than the money I earn. I'm on fire for you. Where is it taken from? Where is it spent? Life's freely given when death pays the rent.
give me a ladder, rod to be bent. I made the fire for you. And as the story goes, dance in the flames, dance in the night, dance under waters, all your dead gather around you like flies, gathering circles of be. Who are you now? Who's at the crow's nest? Who's at the bow? Aren't we all penniless to our last vow? You make the fire for me. And as the story goes, death lays no blame. Death without sigh. Death will catch all of us unawares, combing the beach at low tide, searching the shadows for light. Knowing that one will always become two, two lovers grinning, two eyes on you, three-petal flower, the opening of wounds, four in the ashes, five in the moon, six made of linen, seven of cord, eight is an hourglass lost in the war, nine is beyond the farthest shore, ten is the wildfire's deafening roar. Will I say to her when she arrives? I am a stranger here, spare me my life. Pass overhead, yes, pass me by. I am too beautiful, too young to die. The years and the months and the days all advance. Dying is easy when life is a trance. So take your breath freely, take a chance. Become the fire, become the dance. Become the fire, become the dance. Become the fire, become the dance. Become the fire, become the dance.
All right, Carlisle Evans Peck, new single release, just came out in September, Dance Macabre. And you can find out more information about Carlisle's music at carlisleevanspeck.com. And Stu, you said something that Carlisle was involved with Bare Bones.
Yeah, just a shout out to Carlisle. My first year volunteering as a performer in the show 3 years ago, and the year before that, Carlisle was our music director, so Jay's predecessor in the role. And Carlisle is just such a beautiful musician and beautiful vocalist. But also I deeply have appreciated Carlisle's presence in kind of this weird cardboard puppet queer artist scene that South Minneapolis has fostered so well, mm-hmm. and that is really around. There's a lot going on, and I feel like I see Carlisle everywhere in that, and I deeply appreciate having an artist so beautiful as part of that community. So huge shout out to Carlisle.
All right, that's really great to know. So what is coming up for Bare Bones, getting ready for this big extravaganza? You're looking for volunteers still. What do you think about, how does this affect you? Like, what does it mean to you to be working on this Bare Bones project?
Yeah, well, it's a huge honor every year to work with Bare Bones, and it's a deeply emotional project. You know, as part of a project about grief where we're trying to hold the community's grief, we also have to deal with our own and deal with each other's grief, right? Like, so when we're meeting as an artistic team, we kind of have to work through some hard emotions, and that's really powerful. And it's a type of work that's different from what I've experienced at like a day job. You know, like I really care about this organization, and this organization, it's reciprocated. This organization really cares about me. So, yeah, it's deeply meaningful for me. I don't know.
I would kind of agree with that. I feel that the community is really the biggest part of it for me. I feel that there's a lot of positivity, and you know, it's a great transition into winter for me. Because it seems kind of like an ominous stretch, but not when you're part of Bare Bones. Yeah. It is so fun to be part of this community.
So this is going to be in Powderhorn Park. Now, when people come to see the show, will there be places for them to sit, or do they have to stand and watch the show, or how does that work?
Yep, so it's hill seating. So if you're familiar with Powderhorn Park, on the west side of the park, there's a pretty steep hill. And there will be some ADA seating for folks who are disabled or have wheelchairs. But other than that, it's hill seating where bring blankets, bring lots of blankets, dress very warm. October, at the end of October, it can be cold. And it's, you know, seated on the ground. So like stadium seats and that sort of thing work great. If you've got like the, whatever you call them, the crazy creeks. That's how we always call them growing up. Pillows, that kind of thing. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So let's describe this a little bit. There's, you've got the lake. Then you've got this big hill that people are going to be seated on. Mm-hmm. And then at the bottom of the hill is a big open area, and that's what you're going to use for your stage, right?
Yep, exactly.
Yep. Okay.
And there's the walking path. So we're on the other side of the walking path from the hill. So we're kind of nestled between that path and the lake. And it's, for how big our puppets are, it's not that big of a stage. It's a challenge for us as puppeteers and directors to not get all tangled up in that space. But it'll make it even a tighter show, so we're excited about that.
That is amazing. How do you get them moved around without them getting all dinged up and stuff? How does that work?
Many hands, much care, tarps for rain. You know, most of our puppets are paper mache.
Okay.
And so rain is a real no-no. We have some storage pods that we keep in the park in the, you know, in the lead up to the show and during the show. So. And some puppeteers will say, nobody touch my puppet. It's me and these six people know how to move it. You know, so it depends on what it is. But yeah, many hands and much care.
Additionally, I think you do have some people on radio that are coordinating all of these logistics. So you can't have the you know, the dinosaur go at the same time as the giant tree, for example. Yeah. So there's people that are that is their role, is to just basically kind of be the traffic enforcement of all of this stuff. Yeah.
Right. Yep.
Well, when you're creating a puppet, and I'm sure you both made puppets and designed puppets, when you're dealing with a puppet that's so large, kind of explain to people, like, how is it handled? How is it moved?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, so it varies a lot, but there's different kind of categories or different kind of things, you know, mechanisms we can use. So last year I had a really, really big puppet. It was like a, depending on how you count, like a 30 to 40 foot long frog. And it took 9 people to puppeteer.
Wow.
That one we had, and we're actually reusing this component again this year, which I'm super excited about, but we had a sulky. It's basically a rickshaw, but it would have been pulled by a horse instead of a person. And so it's kind of like a little chariot, and we can build a whole structure off of that and then pull it around. And then, you know, maybe a puppet has arms, and so now we need someone to be the wrist. And if it's a long arm, maybe we need someone to be the elbow as well. So people will hold on to that, you know, we'll put a handle on it. And then we have backpack puppets. That's another very common one. We use old aluminum frames from hiking backpacks from like the 80s and 90s before we got, you know, the internal frames were popular.
Yeah, uh-huh.
People recycle those. We keep the frames, and you can build a puppet off of that as well. So
nice.
I know at 2 of our big puppets this year, or actually 3 of our big puppets this year, I'll call them the giant puppets that are, you know, taller than 15 feet and longer than 20 feet, will be 2 people wearing backpacks inside of a bigger structure that they've made.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen pictures, like you're talking about the giant puppets, where the puppeteers have sticks attached to different parts. I'm just wondering, like, How does that work? What are the sticks made up of, and how do they learn to manipulate them as they're moving around?
Yeah, bamboo. We love bamboo. We also use, I mean, we use a lot of scrap materials. You know, it's bare bones. We're on a tight budget, and so we kind of use what people bring in, but obviously lighter is better, stronger is better. Bamboo, PVC, a lot of PEX tubing, not so much for the sticks that you'd hold, but for shaping puppets and things. And then as far as how people figure out how to use them, we have our rehearsals every week all through September and October that are still going on. And we just kind of put puppets on people and tell them to mess around. And if they do something that looks really cool, I'll be like, oh, yeah, do that, do that, do that. Or if it's something that's like, you know, then don't do that. That looks like it's dead or whatever it is, you know. So, but mostly it's just people playing. And it's very, our volunteers pick it up so fast. It's a natural thing to play, you know. Mm-hmm. So people jump right in.
I should also say that it is an all ages community, so we have some children and they have energy, so if you need a fast moving butterfly, for example, they might be a good pick for that one.
Yeah,
and they're also really good at stilting, which is another thing that we have quite a bit of.
We have actually, in just stilting in the show at large, but also specifically in stilting, we have people that go down to the age of 3 and all the way up into their 80s. So the age range of the organization, we're very multi-generational. That's one of our strengths, and something that personally I've benefited from a lot. You can learn from these older generations who've been doing this work and all around the world, you know, these weirdo artists. And then there's little ones that you get to take care of as well.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Yeah, I see there's stilting. There's aerialists. Are you going to have any aerial work this year?
Potentially a little bit. We're still figuring that out with what we can get away with in the trees.
Yeah. But I know there's like, there's fire and dancing and song. And where's the band going to be during this puppet show?
That's an interesting question. Because it can get pretty cold, some of those instruments can't just be out in the open. So we do build a stage for the orchestra. And we have some heaters there because you don't want a very expensive violin in freezing weather. That just doesn't really work out very well.
So then the band is up on kind of a stage. Where are you in relationship to where the puppet show is?
It's off to one of the sides. So it'll be visible to the audience.
Okay.
But not in the way of the puppets. So that might be another traffic idea that we have to work out for sure. Right.
And one thing that's really important with that for Jay and Walken will be that actually that they can see what's happening on stage, because, you know, when this puppet comes out, they need to change music or vice versa. And so, you know, we really want our audience watching the puppets, and we want the musicians watching the puppets as well. We don't want the audience looking at them. So the musicians are kind of staged as part of our little puppet show.
And that's another interesting point with the music. When we're writing these songs, we don't know exactly how long they're going to go for or even what it's really actually going to look like. So it's really important for us to be flexible enough to extend a song out several more minutes than we planned, or shorten it, and to anticipate all kinds of different cues and things that we don't even hear until the actual performance sometimes. So it'll be important for at least the directors to take a look and see what the action is going, what's going on out there.
Yeah. We're working on it. We're working on it.
Yes. We're getting there.
So, Stu, you said your co-director is Katie Burgess. And how are the two of you then working together and trying to figure out how everything's going to go together?
Yeah, that's a great question. Katie and I have a very natural flow. We're both kind of chaotic people. and so we're very thankful for all of the people in our organization who are keeping track of our very chaotic minds, keeping us in check. But yeah, Katie has more of a theater background than I do, and I have more of a puppet background than Katie does.
Okay.
And so there's just kind of natural places where Katie takes over and it makes sense, then I take over and it makes sense. You know, Katie does a lot of dance, I do a lot of singing. And so at rehearsals, we have a really easy handoff there. It didn't take much in terms of like, oh, who's going to do what? It was like, well, yeah, obviously Katie will do movement. So that's been easy, and Katie's been just absolutely wonderful to work with, so very thankful.
And gee, is that similar to how you are working with Walken?
Yes, absolutely. So Walken actually was the director, one of the co-directors from last year's production, which is a great angle for me, because what he brings is a lot of the storyboarding, a lot of the what does this scene feel like, what is the mood that it evokes, as well as being an excellent violin player. So that kind of dramaturgical aspect is really useful for the whole orchestra. So I have a lot of benefit from having Joaquin as a co-director.
Mm-hmm. Can I just highlight something as well that Jay said, if it's okay? With our directors, so as you said, Joaquin last year was the director, not music director, but one of the co-directors of the show.
Okay.
And that's kind of a hallmark of Bare Bones as well. It's not like a ladder you climb and then you're at the top and then you stay there or you've made it. You know, it's a recirculating thing. We're always, you know, we don't view our directors as the top of something. And we never have the same two co-directors 2 years in a row. We always are turning that over so other people have that opportunity. Okay. So we have folks like Joaquin who are like, yeah, I'm going to jump into this other thing. And the other co-director from last year is now a producer, and we have people who come back as volunteers or artists, and so there's kind of this intermingling of I hate to call it power, but the way that people are able to have power in the organization.
Mm-hmm. What does Bare Bones do all year long? Like when you're not working on the Halloween show, what's going on?
Mm-hmm. The extravaganza is definitely Bare Bones' main thing. It's what we exist to do.
It's what you work on all year.
But there are things happening in the background. Yeah, we have a board of volunteers who are working on making sure things run smoothly, you know, year to year, finances, this and that.
Mm-hmm.
There is a community retreat that happens in the summer, which is kind of a pre-storyboarding look at what do we need the show to be about this year? Where is our community at? What do we need in community together? And there's always things like grant writing and this and that, you know, the behind the scenes stuff. But also our community, the same people that build our puppets for Bare Bones build puppets for May Day, you know, the May Day parade and the art sled rallies. And we have friends at Adventures in Cardboard. So it's kind of it's the community is continuous. The Bare Bones, where we coalesce to be Bare Bones, is this time of year.
Yeah, if people don't know, I mean, the Powderhorn area down there by Powderhorn Park and, you know, in the heart of the beast is puppet heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if people don't know anything about puppetry, you got to go down there and check it out.
Yeah, I mean, our puppets.
Yeah, I mean, it's really amazing. Does Bare Bones ever collaborate with In the Heart of the Beast on puppet shows, or are they involved at all in the Halloween extravaganza?
Yeah, that's a great question. Last year, they let us build in their space. So definitely, I mean, that was a functional relationship we had with them. And similarly, a lot of our artists have worked with them or are working with them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not, this year or last year at least, a direct partnership, you know, artistic partnership that's happening with them.
Yeah, yeah. I was just curious about that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take another short break. You're listening to Fresh Fruit on KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis-St. Paul, Twin Cities, and around the world at kfai.org. We've got a couple of announcements, and then we'll have some more music and bring our guests back.
Support for KFAI comes from First Avenue, presenting GBH at the Fine Line, Tuesday, October 28th. GBH were early pioneers of British street punk. 45 years later, they're still pumping it out. Bands such as Metallica, Megadeth, Slayer, Anthrax, Queens of the Stone Age, Green Day, and Nirvana have all cited GBH as an influence. Opening the show are Slaughterhouse and the Mainliners. More information about GBH at the Fine Line is available at first-avenue.com.
Support for KFAI comes from the Hook and Ladder Theater and Lounge, presenting the album release party of Paul Sebar, Friday, November 7th. On his new self-titled release, Paul employs his signature blend of soul reggae, Tex-Mex gospel, and rock to create an album and a show that is as distinctively stylish as his trademark hats. Paul Sebar's Paul Sebar is his most Paul Sebar yet, with the man himself saying, "This is where I'm at, this is me." More information about Paul Sebar's album release party is available at thehookmpls.com.
All right, welcome back to KFAI Fresh Fruit. I'm your host, Dixie Treichel, and I'm here tonight with folks from the 32nd Annual Bare Bones Puppet Extravaganza that's going to be happening at Powderhorn Park. And got Stu Bennett and Jay Walker Paz. But before we go on, I want to play one more tune here, celebrating the thinning of the veil. This is a song by Wendy Carlos, composer, and it's from her album Beauty and the Beast, which is composed in an alternative tuning system. So it sounds a little bit spooky, but it's really interesting. So this is Wendy Carlos. All right, that was Wendy Carlos, Beauty and the Beast, from her album Beauty and the Beast by Eastside Digital. All right, we're back with Stu and Jay, and we were talking about you know, various ways that puppets are made and what they're all about. So tell us a little bit about what's coming up.
Yeah, well, we are actively working on the puppets. Actually, as we speak, there's a build going on right now that Jay and I are both missing. We're very sad not to be there. But so those puppets will be continuing to be built until pretty much the week of the show. We're right up, every year we're right up to it. And then it's time to haul them down to the park for Tech Week, and then we have our performances.
Yeah, I was curious about like costumes and makeup and how that all fits into the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing experience, honestly. So I should say that we do have a pretty extensive lighting crew and sound crew. So I'm usually there pretty early, and I'm kind of watching people trickle in. Once there's a good amount of people, you'll see a makeup station, and people are encouraged, if they want to put some white makeup on their face, and they'll decorate it with, black ink in various ways, however you feel. So that's kind of a thing that we've done over the years. And it's great because if you have a Halloween party afterwards, you already kind of have a costume.
Mm-hmm.
But I should keep going with this. So during those rehearsal or like pre-show, it's also a really good time for us to be in community. And one of the things that we do is that we circle up all of the volunteers and we sing songs together, which is a tradition that we've had, I think, forever.
Yeah. Bare Bones in its history started with a lot of singing. Singing was core to Bare Bones at the beginning, and it still is, and that's fluctuated over time. We're definitely trying to do as much as we can this year. So usually at builds, we'll sing a song before dinner. Sometimes at the closing of the night, we'll sing a goodbye song. And then at rehearsals, we're singing a lot too, kind of song circle style, you know, many voices. And some of these songs are just for us, like the songs we sing before our performances, just to kind of come together and be in community. Other ones will actually be a part of the show. And we have some really exciting stuff in that regard to bring out to the community this year. And I always say this to our volunteers while we're practicing singing, because we're not we don't have a lot of trained vocalists. We have people that came out to do puppets, or they came out because they wanted to build a puppet or whatever it is. And so people can be a bit timid, you know, with their voice. They're not used to that. And I always say, you know, we're building these puppets out of things we just collected, out of the things we had, the things we could get for cheap, whatever was there. And with all of our creative energy and all of our work to coming together, we make these really beautiful things, like really, really moving objects that can really make us feel something. And it's no different with our voices. So I always tell people, sing really loud, and no matter what note you hit or don't hit, it will sound better because you're singing loud. And so far, I haven't been proved wrong. They don't seem to believe me. I get a good laugh every time I say that, but it's really true. You know, we're coming together, and it's not about precision and efficiency. That's not what we do in this organization. It's about community. It's about unity and beauty, and of course grief, which is always the theme of the show.
Another thing that that brings me a little bit outside of my comfort zone, but I've gotten a lot out of this, is that during our rehearsals, we kind of always start with some kind of physical warm-up or a dance or some kind of something to loosen up your limbs.
Mm-hmm.
And this year we've done that quite a bit, but it's another aspect of, you know, it's not just puppet making and a performance. There's a lot more that goes into it. Mm-hmm. Another thing that I should say is that we do have a Safer Spaces group, and that it's basically based around the idea of radical hospitality, and it's where some of the ideas of having meals, and they're really, really good meals, by the way. I was surprised.
Really good meals. Really good meals.
So yeah, you know, this organization also just looks out to try to include everybody and try to make people feel safe. So this also goes for people that may be walking to their cars and that just need a buddy to go with them to make sure that everything's okay. So the idea of radical inclusion and hospitality is something that we really believe in this organization.
Mm-hmm. And I know that the Halloween event is your major event, but you mentioned that you do other activities or workshops or stuff like that.
Yeah, during the season, we put on a few workshops. It changes every year. And this year, most of them were centered around anti-racism. We put them on for our volunteers and our organization, you know, everyone that works with the organization, from the board to the directors to whoever. Mm-hmm. And we consider that a pretty critical part of our work. If we are going to be radically inclusive, we need to actually make sure we're following through with that. So that requires some training. And so we've put on those workshops. But other workshops have included shadow puppetry. And, you know, one we did last year was just a general how to move in a giant puppet. You know, with if there's 20 other people on your puppet, how are you going to make this work? Mm-hmm. There's been musical workshops. So it's different every year. And we make that kind of a part of our fall program as part of the show.
Mm-hmm. That sounds great. Now, I believe I saw on your website that there's also an evening that has ASL and audio description.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. And I believe that will be Saturday.
I think it's November 1st.
I believe it's November 1st.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So if people need that access to that, do they need to do anything ahead of time, or it'll just be there?
Nope. Yeah, it'll just be there. Just buy a ticket for that night. And yeah, that there's no other action needed from them.
Mm-hmm. And I know we can't say prices, but there are tickets that you need to purchase in order to see the show.
Mm-hmm.
And they can get that at barebonespuppets.org mm-hmm. by going there. And then what about your the other social media for Bare Bones? Is there, do you do a lot of that, or how does that work?
Yeah, we're on Instagram as well as Facebook. But again, you know, the best way, if you're thinking about doing this even next year, I think the website is really the best way. That'll have links to our calendar. So there's a community shared calendar there. There's information on location. So really the website for anybody interested, maybe take a look at during the summer next year at some point, and you'll see when things are happening.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll add, or right now, look at the website right now. We still have many needs. We need volunteers to come out and be in the show. It's not too late.
Oh, really? Okay.
I always love to tell a story where my first year as a volunteer performing in the show, a friend of mine hit me up and was like, hey, what are you doing tonight? And I said, oh, come to the park, you know? And I said, okay. And they got there, and I put a goldfish, is like maybe a 4-foot-long goldfish puppet. Beautiful puppet, actually one of our oldest puppets we have, and I put it on their head, and I was like, great, you're on. And they were in the show, and they didn't know anything about it, you know. I mean, that's not ideal, but
yeah,
but that happens every year. We have people that do that, and we make it work.
Oh, that is so interesting.
We still need lots of help building our puppets. We still want more people to come play in the park, and we still need people to sign up in front of house. So ushers, merch tent, you know, security, these types of jobs are mm-hmm. always hard to fill. So mm-hmm. there's plenty that you can still plug into if this stuff sounds exciting mm-hmm. to you.
And that's you can do that on the website at barebonespuppets.org.
Yep.
Right? And anything with the music? Are you in need of any other musicians, or what's going on, or how's that work?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. So since the orchestra is a little bit more structured, and you kind of have to know what is going on in the story, and it takes a little bit more training, but we always like to have a space where community can come and play with us. So during any of the shows, on any of the nights, which again is going to be October 30th, 31st, November 1st and 2nd, anyone with an instrument can come and join to play some of the pre-show music. And that will be a very loose improvisation. You don't need to learn how to know how to read notes or anything like that. Bring your instrument and come play with us.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you both for coming on Fresh Fruit. And I know it's going to be a fantastic show. Again, it's the 32nd annual Bare Bones Halloween Extravaganza at Powderhorn Park. October 30, 31, November 1 and 2. And the guests this evening are Stu Bennett, co-director, and Jay Walker Paz, music co-director. And I'm Dixie Treichel. So thanks for tuning in to Fresh Fruit. And let's go out with a song by Dead Can Dance called Song of the Dispossessed. Thanks for listening. Ciao.
Awesome.
the Lord.